Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman, Home Appliances. Rocks the Footy.
Just checked my email about the team.
Oh, I didn't know.
That magazine.
Claim it's an overscore.
Yeah.
Well, came to the last, remember we had one earlier in the year.
Yeah, you're a bit precious.
Everyone's having a schooner, you were having a shardy.
Yeah. Everyone's happy to go down in and have a schooner, exactly, but you had to stand there with your expensive bottle of wine. You're not cost effective.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Just a couple of hours to share with you before kickoff. The Knights and the Warriors, 3 o'clock, McDonald Jones Stadium game. The Knights, I think, would be fairly confident after their win last week against the Dragons. The Dragons, of course, their season is in a little bit of a tailspin after going down to the Rabbitohs last night at the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground, 26-24 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Melbourne Storm continue to impress and look increasingly like the team to beat. They certainly are that, and they beat the Cowboys last night, 26-8. The Eels, too good for the Bulldogs, 20-4. And Wendell Saylor, what a great result. I just want to have a shout-out to the Matildas. They, of course, beat Brazil 6-1. They've won that Tournament of Nations after beating the United States, ranked number one in the world. They'd never beaten them before. And, of course, they beat Japan. They're 4-2 as well. Incredibly impressive.
Amazing. And they got knocked out, didn't they, in the finals last year on a penalty shootout by Brazil?
Yeah.
And how come they've gone to a new level?
They're just playing good football. They have been for a little while now. They have gone to another level, though. And there's a World Cup, I think, is it 2019? But anyway, there's something coming up that they... they're one of those teams.
I'm on the bandwagon now. I'm playing an instrument. What instrument are you playing?
What instrument? On the band?
Yeah.
Euphonium. It's an underused instrument. It's like a tuba, only smaller. Very, very good instrument. All right, it is time for this...
Foxy, yeah, give it to me in retro round, Jimmy Fox. You're looking foxy today.
You're going with the shorts too.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it.
Shorts.
Let's get into it.
Let's get on the foxy boy.
Okay, so Paul Green last night obviously launched a fair spray aimed at the referees. Unfortunately, I think he's going to be the second coach in the space of a couple of weeks to get pinged for 10,000 because, yeah, I think he labelled it the worst refereeing performance he'd ever seen. And I think that the NRL will most likely have to hit him with a 10K fine.
Well, that backs up what Paul McGregor was saying last week. And I reckon, you know, they haven't been at their best and they've missed some things.
Well, let's just have a listen to what Paul Green had to say after that loss.
It's just a shame the refs ruined it because that was the worst bloody refereeing display I've ever seen tonight against two really good teams. There were some dead set calls out there that I had to ask assistants what that was for, and I just thought it lacked consistency. Now, I'm not one to ever... shift the blame away from a performance. So I'm not trying to do that, but I think our fans deserve more. I think, you know, it's two quality teams and you know, I don't think... that was... Whew.
The big picture here, boys, we've got to read between the lines a little bit, is the fact that we're coming up to the finals.
Yep.
The heat is about... The heat in the kitchen is just about to triple because...
Yes.
Everything's going to mean something soon. And these guys, and look, I don't know if they're refereeing up to their own expectations. They think they're doing a decent job. But at the moment, I think it's pretty clear. And we don't want to sit here and bag the referees. We all know what a hard job it is. But the fact of the matter is we're going into finals in 4 or 5 weeks' time. We need to start getting it right. They need to start getting better. They should be, you know, at the top of their game now, getting ready for finals football. It feels like at the moment the whole refereeing, the whole organisation is a basket case.
Is lacking confidence.
But they lack, and you can't. It's like a team. It's be like the Dragons going into the finals, Tony, with, you know, no confidence. I mean, they got a job to do. They got to make sure they get it together in the next, you know, month of footy. Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to go into finals, and it's going to be a debacle.
Well, that said, is it right for Paul Green to be? You're saying he's likely to get the fine. Paul McGregor did, of course. He's been asked. He's been given the breach notice, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's apparently replied.
Yes.
And we'll wait on a reply. So we'll see. That hasn't, you know, been nailed down yet.
That's a paper shuffle. I think fundamentally, I think it'll stick the $10,000 fine because I think if they back down on it, the NRL, then
why wasn't Ricky Stewart's spray fined?
Well, because he didn't question, according to the NRL, he didn't question the integrity of the referees.
But does Paul Green question the integrity? Questions the skill level? That's not the same thing, surely?
Oh, yeah,
it's complex. It is complex, but if you're going to say that's the reason, then you have to get the definitions right.
I'll say this. I reckon Paul Green's a very smart coach, very, very damn good coach. I think he knew what he was doing last night. I think that he knew that in all likelihood he was probably going to get whacked with a 10K fine, and so he's decided he's going to go in, he's going to roll the dice, he's going to take the risk leading into the finals, he's going to put a little bit of heat back on the officials, and then next time the Cowboys are playing, they've got to get a better rub of the green.
Is that going to work? And I understand exactly what you're saying, Gerds, that they need to get better, the referees, but is that going to do it in a media conference after a game, a coach coming out and saying that wasn't any good, or is it through the proper channels where you talk to Tony Archer?
Well, they all go through the proper channels ad nauseum, and I think from speaking to a number of NRL coaches, a lot of them are frustrated. A lot of them are frustrated with the proper channels. They feel as though it's just lip service and that they're not really getting
why we're seeing this on weekends, because if they had respect, if they had for the process in which they could go through midweek to find out, to actually feel like they could get, you know, some progressive results, well, then they probably wouldn't feel like they need to explode on weekends. They'd probably sit there and go, well, look, a couple of calls didn't go away, but I'll talk to Tony and the boys about it on Monday. We'll get it sorted for next weekend. But that's obviously not happening, and that's the concern.
I know every team's probably got, you know, they go back and they look at parts where they could have got a call that went their way. And I reckon even Paul McGregor last week, I can understand Paul Green saying, but I reckon last week too, Marion is not one to blame the referees. He knows his players, they didn't go there with the right attitude now. But I reckon the Cronulla game when there was two forward passes, I reckon, and the top eight being on the line, I reckon that's frustration. He knows.
Of course.
They've been in the top eight all year. That game was so important last week. It was a bit of that. And then I reckon when he got asked the question,
he was fed the line too, wasn't he?
He's still that emotion of it.
Of course.
You're just going bang. And, mate, they had a chance to
back
up.
Because in reality, those refereeing performances weren't as bad as plenty others that haven't been commented on like that by coaches.
Yeah.
Certainly the Dragons one. I mean, Tyson Frizzell had touched Trent Hodgkinson.
That's right.
And under the rules, it doesn't matter whether he dies or not. To me, he's not going to get to Nene McDonald. But that is a penalty.
Yeah,
probably it was.
The cross kick, mate. Yeah.
That was a try, though.
Yeah, that was
100%. A try. The Jason Nightingale. Yeah, Prince, I think that's true. But, you know, those things happen to both teams.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, all right. So we think that's going to be a fine.
I reckon, look, in all likelihood, as harsh as it is for the Cowboys, I think that that they will probably get hit with a breach notice as of Monday. Big game tonight, Tone, for the Sharkies. Sharkies and the Raiders. Raiders, look, if they're going to be any hope at all, they obviously need to desperately keep winning. Interesting, the 5-8 New Brown, he's definitely going to play. So I don't know what you boys think about that. He was
taken
pretty
off the hospital, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they've come out and said that
there's protocols in place.
I mean, we could sit here and pretend that we're doctors, but we're not. I mean, we've got to leave this to the professionals.
Can you give Tone a moment?
Industry.
Just let him hang on.
Well, I know what he's going to say.
I'm not a doctor.
What am I going to say?
Say it.
Say it. No, what? Then,
enlighten us with it.
Yeah, say it.
Okay.
Say it, Tone.
Well, this guy went to hospital.
And again, that's what I'm going to say.
We know that.
They, of course, have come out and said, you know, the comparisons with Billy Slater are wrong. Billy Slater had forgotten, you know, he'd lost 2 weeks of his life,
and
basically,
forgot the state of origin, yes.
Which we've all been trying to do. But he managed to do it. I feel jealous. But he's saying that at that level, New Brown wasn't that. He could remember the game, but not the incident itself, and that all, as you say, Gerds, all the tests have been done. But surely with what is going on, can the possibility, because that was a major concussion.
If they want to bring
concussion
in,
on concussion, if that were, he were to go out and cop a head knock, I feel sick in my stomach.
In boxing, it's a month, isn't it, Hoops?
I think it might even be three.
Yeah, so, but fighters obviously fight, what, 3 or 4 times a year, most guys, or maybe a little bit more, but the big guys, they're fighting. You can't do that in our sport.
No.
you can't have, you get a bump, you can't sit out for 3 months. That's half your season.
Not only that, we've got medical professionals involved, Tone. Like, he has to have passed all these tests. The club doctors have to have cleared him. So, look, I think that he will take his place in the Sharkies side tonight. I think Jack Bird will also make his return from a sternum injury. So that's going to be a massive game. Also, yesterday at that SCG retro round match, it was great to bump into Greg Inglis, who was in really good spirits. He was walking around and having a bit of a yak with
some
of the fans. He does. He looks upbeat and he looks like he's bouncing around on the tops of his toes.
Good on him.
The only element with GI, obviously he's had that knee.
The tops of his toes or the tips of his toes?
Tips of his toes. Tips of his toes.
Because if it were the tops of the toes, that would be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, you know, you've never done that before.
That's
right?
What boxers do, <toes. laughs>
You could do a ligament doing that.
Well, GI's got, obviously he's had that ACL issue, so he did his knee earlier in the season and he had to have that surgery. I think he's going to have to go back in and have a little bit more surgery, so he won't be available for the Kangaroos for the World Cup.
Yeah,
but he will be back ready to rip and tear for the Bunnies early next season.
That's going to be good for his career long term, I reckon.
Absolutely.
He came in as like a 17 or 18-year-old into grade and he hasn't really had a break. You know, I know he's had one or two major injuries.
It'd be great for him to get a full preseason, and then Dane Gagai comes to scouts. Yeah. And I just feel as though, yeah, the Bunnies, they're going to turn the corner next season.
Yep.
Beautiful, Foxy. Enjoyed that. Next, we can enjoy a little game called 3 in 5. Saturday Triple M NRL. There you go. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor and Tony Squires with you. All right. Now, I'm going to play a little game called 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3 in 5.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3. When did you start adding your voice to that, Wendell? That's just your first go.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I loved it.
Okay.
No, never pull back on those things.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, there's a fair bit going on. Obviously, we talked during the week about Nathan Cleary and Ivan Cleary, the father and son combination, as we speak, before Ivan coaches his side against Nathan's team. He will be on the overnight, obviously, you know, going in there, setting the alarm for 2 o'clock.
Yeah, or maybe
3
having
o'clock.
a little dinner party that might go on till sort of 2 in the morning.
Exactly right. Wake him up at 5, you know, all those sorts of things, which is terrific. There's lots of other, family.
You know, when you go on a, I don't know if it happened to you, Tony, if you went on a trip away, but you go to bed, and one of the boys would put your hand in a glass or a jug of cold water, and then all of a sudden you'd wet the bed.
No.
That ever happened to you, Tane?
I didn't need the glass of water to have my hand in.
Did you ever lose an eyebrow, Tony?
Did you? Oh,
yeah,
I
lost an eyebrow.
What, on a
my
tour?
First trip away, yeah, it was still with the Steelers, and we went to Perth, and we had a big night the first night. I was just so excited to be there with all the boys, and I wake up the next morning, I walk around, everyone's having breakfast and sort of looking at me and laughing or whatever, and I didn't know what was going on, and I went back and had a look, and I just had one eyebrow. And I had to, so I went and had to get a pencil and draw the other one for the rest of the trip.
Actually, if you have a look at Kevin Walters, he doesn't have eyebrows.
He doesn't have eyebrows at all,
Kevin. Yeah, check it out. Yeah.
Well, my auntie was like that, and she used to take the eyebrows off, but then she used to get a soup spoon and put it up against it over her eye and draw a line and and she wanted to look surprised.
Really?
She had to turn the soup spoon the other way.
Is that a Newcastle thing?
it was an Inverell thing. It was lovely.
Yeah.
All right, so family connections. There's plenty of others. The Matautia boys playing this afternoon. Quite a few of them there. There's the Watenia's Lesniak brothers who will be playing against
tomorrow as well.
So all of that is happening. Given that as my backdrop, as you would imagine, I've gone with family connections.
That's true.
Family connections.
Brilliant.
I'm going to start with you, with Ryan Girdler. I've gone for the easy one. I know you've got 5 seconds, so that's the pressure on it. But you have played with them. 3 brothers who played for Penrith.
The Adamson brothers, the Cartwright brothers, and the
Mortimers.
Alexander's,
the Izzards well. Now, in fact, can you remember the 3 Izzards who played for Penrith?
Yes. Craig, Brad, and...
Dave.
Craig, Brad, and the younger one.
Grant.
He was a groundsman. He was a great fella, Grant.
I'll go with the Dragons.
Sorry, Grant,
with you, Wendell, as well, okay? So this is more specific. In the 70s, there was a terrific fullback for the St. George side who then had 3 sons who played first grade in the NRL. His name was Ted. Can you name all the 3 of the kids?
Bronx, Bryson, and Luke.
Good one. Correct.
Yeah.
Bang.
Boom. Big Duster. Yeah, baby. You're back, baby. Yeah.
All right, Hoops. I've gone. You're tough.
Ted.
I'm taking you back to 1980. It is retro round.
Yeah.
The 1980 and the family connection.
Yep.
Canterbury win the grand final in 1980. There are 6 brothers running around on the field. Name as many as you can.
So it's the Hugheses and the Mortimers.
Yes.
The Mortimers are Steve, Chris, and Peter, and the Hugheses are Graham. Oh, man.
Very
the buzzer
good.
Got me. The buzzer
Gary
got me.
Hughes Gary and Mark Gary, Hughes. Gary. There you go. Okay, just for bonus, boys, you can use your names as your buzzers. A little bit of music for you. Who are the two brothers involved in this band?
What was our buzzer again, Tony? Sorry?
Your name. Your name.
LeBron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peppy. And then I just wanted to check for you.
Are you serious? Here we are on Triple
the
M. Yeah, it is the young brother,
there
Angus
you go.
And
Come
Malcolm
on, boys.
Young.
Wake up over there.
All right. And just to rock the footy completely, what about this? I'm picking
up
brothers. Yeah, what's his name? The Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. Yeah, the brothers, brothers in the Beach Boys are
related.
Brian Carl and Dennis Wilson, you have played very, very well. I'm giving the win to Wendell Saylor, Saturday Triple M NRL.
Thank
doing
you,
it
boys.
For Bryden's Lawyers. One, two, three,
never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good.
Oh, mate. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Wendell Saylor, Ryan Gerler, James Herbert, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. Just having a look back at the Eels and the Bulldogs. 20-4, the Eels too good for the Doggies on the Tyre Power scoreboard. We've mentioned what the Bulldogs look like, and it's a little bit troublesome at this back end of this season. The Eels, on the other hand, as we mentioned, 2009, the last time they were there, they will play finals footy. And if that is any indication, they'll play pretty good finals footy. Mitchell Moses has added a great deal, hasn't he? He has matured as a player, it seems, in the short time he's been there, playing great footy. The line break is there, kicking game in difficult conditions. He was impressive.
It was great, wasn't he, boys? Yeah, and he's been super for them ever since he made the mid-season switch. I think he just allows Corey Norman, it just gives them another element to their attack. They've got more variety now, more strike power, and essentially opposition sides have got to have their eyes up and they need to be focusing on more than one primary playmaker. So, look, he's been great. Parramatta, Paul Crawley's written a great article in the paper today about this role that they're on. Six wins in a row, the first time under Brad Arthur that they have notched six straight. Look, they're doing it with an unsung side. They don't have any current origin players. They don't have any current representative international players, but they're a damn good team and they're playing for one another. And look, I think they can give it a real shake, Tone, the style of footy they're playing at the moment.
Well, I think the good thing, last year wasn't, I suppose, good for them and the fans where, like, on points, they were one of the top eight sides, but obviously with the salary cap stuff, mate, as a playing group, I reckon the way they handled it last year, Brad Arthur, the way that he handled it, I reckon it gave him confidence a little bit sort of going into next season thinking, okay, we're good enough to match up with these sides. But this year they've sort of gone to the next level. Even Brad Arthur saying, we're not going to talk about, you know, the finals until we sort of know we're there. And even the players, like when I put Mitchell Moses, I'm thinking, I'm watching Mitchell Moses play at the Tigers this year and I knew he wanted to go to Parramatta. And I'm thinking, do you really need Mitchell Moses at your club? And he's actually gone to another level. Corey Norman, even the night, Corey Norman was so good. He just sat back and just, you know, picked the game apart. The kicks were great. He was best on ground for me, Corey Norman. But even their forward pack, mate, every week people go, oh, look, I don't know if they got a good enough forward pack. Mate, they outmuscled the Broncos, you know, last week or whatever. They just keep beating teams. And you know what? They look like a happy side.
Yeah. It looks like a working man's forward pack, doesn't it? It's one of those ones.
Yeah.
They get out, roll the sleeves up, and away they go. Nathan Brown is kind of a prime example, isn't
he? He's been brewing, hasn't he? Yeah, look, you know what they do? They're playing different parts of the game that other teams really don't focus on, and that's they're making short sides nervous. So if you're a defender out on a short side and there's, like, you know, 10 or 15 metres, you're usually trying to push people across to cover the open side, so for the big spread, so you got plenty of numbers there when they put on their set piece. But if you're a defender playing Parramatta and you're on the short side, you're nervous, so you're not pushing people, so you're trying to pull people across. So, and if they've got guys smart enough that are reading numbers, that they do, well, they're causing all sorts of trouble to the defensive line. They don't know whether to push to the open side, to push down the short side, because what they're doing is essentially they're coming from the open side and pushing down short sides late, which is really hard to defend against. So it's not like they know it's going to be a premeditated strike where you can have numbers there, oh, it's going to be play three, they're coming to the short side. They're just doing it in situ, and that's what makes it so dangerous. So, yeah, they're playing a great style of footy. They don't sort of try and play you through the middle, Tony. We spoke about that last week. They play with a lot of width, and what that also does, it puts a lot of pressure on your sort of your one and two defenders. When I talk about that, I mean, you know, the guys one off the dummy half or the marker, and we saw it with
the Moses break the other day. Yep. He got a really wide pass, but which pulled the defender wide and then used his right foot step. And then you're testing. If one of the forwards doesn't, you know, go through with their assignment, all of a sudden there's space and they're just taking their opportunities. Yeah, they're a real dangerous side.
And I've got to say, Kenny Edwards, if ever he wanted to understand how he should play, everyone knows he's got potential, but he does some silly things we've seen over the years. Some players do it and they get that crap out of their game. Last week, the way that he played on Thursday night, that's how you benefit your team. Going into the finals and that, they need to push and, you know, carry on that. Like, if you play like you did, one of his first plays was hitting William Hopewadi, driving him back into the in-goal. It was a real positive play, and he played smart. He's a smart footballer too, just quietly.
He's a very good footballer. I think he's only got to look at his teammate, Nathan Brown, and also Marty Tapau. They both at times were loose cannons and had a little bit of that, you know, that on the edge of the line Clamber stuff
was
in
the
their
same.
Game. But they've pulled it back, toned it back, and now Nathan Brown, he's just been absolutely fantastic for them this season. And the other bloke who's just humming along nicely is the young hooker, Cameron King.
Yeah.
You think,
well, he's not young. He's been around a while.
He has, but he's had some injury setbacks, it's taken him a while to get an opportunity, and now that he has, I'm happy for him because he's doing a job for them. But you think when they lost Clint Gutherson, I think a lot of people went, he's been so valuable, and he provides again another additional element to their attack, that variety. But they haven't missed a beat.
Do they entertain the thoughts of a top four spot? I mean, they've got
they've got the Rabbitohs, their run in is good.
I think what Brett Arthur would be really happy about is the way that they're playing at the moment. It's a semi-final style of football. They did it against Brisbane. I mean, they were down 12-0 against the Broncos after 10 minutes. And they just hung in there and they didn't sort of try and outplay Brisbane, but they just sort of stuck to their process, and their kicking game was really good. And on the back of that, you know, they won in the 70th minute and then they went on with the win. They did it against Canterbury the other night. They could have probably gone on and scored a lot more points, but they didn't feel the need to go for the big play. They were just happy to get repeat sets, and they just drove the Bulldogs into the ground, where by the time they had the football anyway, they were exhausted and just made the game really easy for themselves and went on and won comfortably. But they didn't, you know, they haven't got that big play mentality where you feel like that they're always forcing or trying to do something. It feels like they're working towards something during the game and during the and for the end of the season as well.
I think it was 8 or 9 repeat sets, but even at halftime, when you have a player of Bevan French's ability go off because his hamstring was a bit tight, it's nothing too serious. When you can do that and then put Corey Norman to fullback, because Corey Norman obviously started his career sort of at fullback with his NRL day, but mate, he's so good. He's just a footballer, but even he looks like he's playing with time. We know he's got time when he's playing at his best. He doesn't look flustered. He knows, everyone knows their roles and they're doing it. And they're just a really, you know, content football side at the moment.
What about Sammy Radradra's hands from that kickoff? Incredible skill. The Bulldogs, it was the exact opposite, wasn't it? The Morris boys certainly Josh had an unfortunate evening with his hands as well. But they look terrific. Are they training, Gerds? Did I hear you say they're now going to specifically training evenings?
I think they did it last. I think they've only got Thursday and Friday night games left. So they've gone in now, and I think they're doing a couple of their ball work sessions through the week. At night time.
They switched it up. They switched it up last week, and they are now going to continue doing that leading into the finals, because as you just touched on, they have only got night games leading up into September. The other thing that they are talking about, Tony, is absolutely they're aiming for the top four now. Like they're sitting in fourth currently, and like we said, they've got a favourable draw. I was out there during the week and spoke to a number of their players, and absolutely, they're going for the top four.
And from what we've seen, I mean, we've talked
about Melbourne. Well, they're one of the best four sides in the competition, aren't they, at the moment? And you spoke about Melbourne. I reckon there would have been a few Parramatta fans out there going, well, why aren't you talking about us? Because, they are a chance. They've got a unique style. They've got a team of unique players. When you talk about Nathan Brown, you know, he's doing something sort of different in the NRL at the moment with what he brings. You've got Rudd Rudrow, and you've also got, you know, that halves combination. The good thing about them is they don't just kick well, and they don't just distribute the ball well. They're runners of the football, and every time they get it, they're dangerous. So they've got their own style, and they'll trouble anyone on their day.
Yeah, for the fans of the Eels, it's a nice time of the year for you, and wish you all the best. For fans of the Dragons, as I said before, it's nearly over. We're going to get to the NRL stock market very shortly. Just a reminder, the cooler is still to come. We'll hear from the coaches as well, and from Sterlo and the Footy Voice. That's all ahead. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Triple M rocking the footy for you on a Saturday afternoon. And as ever, it is time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
All right, man, I'm just going to throw a few issues and names at you. You have to tell me whether you're buying, you're selling, or you are holding on the NRL stock market. I'm going to start over where we started at the beginning of the day with the fact that the Dragons, for me, their campaign for a final spot is over. Obviously, the Panthers, who take on the Tigers tomorrow, who now sit on the same points, but on percentages were behind the Dragons. They've got a little step up now, but where does that leave another team in green? Are you buying, selling, or holding on the chances suddenly of the Raiders, James Hooper?
I'm going to hold for now, Tone. I'm going to hold for now. I think that tonight against the Sharks is clearly crucial. They have to win that game. They have to win every game from this point on. So I'm just going to hold because I do give them an outside chance against Cronulla at home tonight.
Okay. Where are you going, Del?
No, I don't. I'm not interested in the Raiders. They've let me down this season.
You're selling whatever stock you have?
Yeah, I'm selling. I'm just selling. All gone. I think they've had plenty of chances this year, and even the tight games, like, you know, I thought they'd find a way to win. They're not playing at that level last year. They just thought it was just going to happen from this year. I know that they got a good record against the Sharks. I think Gell said on Thursday night show, whenever they've gone down there, they've beaten them and vice versa. I remember when they smashed them last year at Southern Cross Stadium.
There's a bit of history. The old Viking clap with Mick Hennis as well.
Well, there's a bit of history from the finals last year. Yes. If you remember, they went down.
That's right. Yeah,
and Cronulla got the points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no. Raiders are gone. See you later, mate.
Yeah, I'd be selling, Tone. Look, they're on 20. 30's probably what the safety zone in the finals, and they've still got, obviously, the Sharks. They've got to play Penrith. They've got to play Melbourne Storm, last round of the competition. You'd think they need to win all five games, and I don't think they're capable of that given the form that they're in.
All right, so there you go. The Raiders, by and large, unloved. What about the Cowboys? We spoke about Paul Green and his issues with the referee. We spoke about the fact they were there or thereabouts, but were beaten by the Storm, who are a terrific side. But do you like what you've seen, Wendell? Are you buying the Cowboys?
Look, I'm holding on the Cowboys only because I know they could probably get to top four, but I don't think they can go to that next level without JT. We saw yesterday, I mean, obviously they had some injuries last night, but I just don't, even though Morgan stepped up, I just don't think they can get to the grand final and find that what they did, you know, a couple of years ago and win. So, look, for me, I'll just hold with the Cowboys at the moment, but they are playing for one another and they have lifted.
I love what they've done, Tone. I love the style of footy that they play, but I think it's not only Jonathan Thurston. You've got to remember they lost Matt Scott at the beginning of the year as well. So I just feel as though they'll be there come September and they'll hold their hands up, but I don't think they can go all the way and challenge for the GF.
Good.
Yeah, look, I'd be selling as well at this point. I don't think they're going to make the top four. Given the last night's injuries, I think they put a lot into last night's performance as well, even though they didn't get the result. And I think they play Penrith next week. I think that'll be a good indication if they can get back up. But, yeah, I think they're going to phase out early in the finals.
Penrith at Pepper? Pepper,
yeah, I think it is at Pepper, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
All right, look, this one is takes a bit of explaining for you. Junior footy is so crucial to our game, getting kids involved and loving running around. Now, there was a story.
I'll buy that, Tony.
Yes, exactly. We're all buying that. Yeah. There was a story last week about a kid in the Canterbury Juniors who is playing in the under-8s. Now, he was a large kid. He was around, they were saying, 90 kilos. There was images of him that were taken on phone that became viral, were used on various media. Were used on Backpage. And part of that was because it just looked so odd, this, you know, very large kid. What was also looked odd was the way he approached the game, which was, sure, he was carting the ball up and those kids were struggling to stop him, but there was no venom in what he was doing. And all reports is that he played the game. He loved playing. They didn't play him all the time. They play him a couple of quarters in a game and not every game. And he never went out and hurt any of those kids, but he just wanted to play. Now, since that has happened, there's been some. His parents were concerned about the backlash against this kid. The story, I guess, that I would like to work out with you guys is, what do we need to change? We want all those kids to have access to playing the game, but we also need to think about, well, is it fair for various sizes? So is there the wait for age idea, the idea that you do have to, if you are, you know, a lot bigger than another kid, you may have to play up, whether they can be all within the same age bracket or maybe, you know, a couple of years covered and then wait weight zones. What do you think? Do we need to change the system, James Hooper?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I've seen it discussed for many years now, Tone, certainly out in the Penrith Junior Rugby League competition and other competitions within New South Wales as well. And I think it's a good idea if you introduce a system where if you are a big kid like the young bloke who we saw, who clearly he wants to get out and he wants to have a crack like all kids do, then I think it makes more sense if he's playing against kids who are perhaps a little bit more his size than against, you know, little blokes who are really going to struggle.
But it's hard because he's not mature, even though he might be a big general. John, I saw the footage and I feel sorry for him. There was no sort of aggression or malice in what he was doing. But maturity-wise, if you're, like, he's a big kid, say you're 90 kilos, say you have to play up, you know, 3-4 grades, you're playing against, you know, kids who are aggressive, who That's are big right. and strong. And
I find that would be just as confronting as what the kids who are trying to tackle him are faced with.
And as a parent, for me, look, I've seen my young bloke come through and he's never been a big kid. And part of rugby league is, you know, the confidence that you get from playing, you know, against bigger kids and that. But the Polynesian kids in general too, they are big kids, but you find a lot of them at that age are just general giants. I reckon you have to get to about an age and then have a look at it, whether it's 14 or 15, not at like 9 and 10. You just want them to enjoy the game and have fun, you know?
Yeah, look, I agree with Del. I don't think there's much we can do about it. We just got to encourage all the kids to get out there and have the best time possible at that young age. And I just think you open a can of worms when you go down that path.
Yeah.
And your maturity is a big thing. I think maturity is more important than physicality at those ages. And they're just all out there doing that. And you know what? If you've got a kid who's 7 or 8 and playing and they're concerned about, you know, the big guy, just pull him aside and say, mate, if he runs, just don't tackle him. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the matter? You know, I think it needs to be managed in that way from the parents and from the coaches, as opposed to, you know, if it's scared and you don't want to be intimidated and that, okay, well, he's out there, he's having fun, but just get out of his way.
You know, it seems in many ways that's exactly how this is being handled. And it seems sad then that because it has got media attention, quite rightly, because it's a bit of vision that, you know, it's different to look at. So therefore people have started to question it. But in reality, that's exactly what they have been doing, haven't they? They seem to. He's played a couple of quarters, as I said.
Yeah.
Hasn't approached it in any aggressive way. He's having fun, and so are the other kids. So maybe we should just leave it with them.
Yeah, he's a big general giant. Mate, it's about training and having mates at that age. You know, we talk about different stuff, mental health. Now I'm hearing he doesn't want to play now because his parents and that. That makes me sad because our game is about camaraderie and mateship.
Yeah, that is exactly the opposite result to what
inclusion.
Inclusion. Thank you very much. It's Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Like this show, Tony. Inclusive. And like tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're out there.
Have you got an email yet?
Buzzmate, tomorrow, if you're listening, reach out. Yes. Tone needs...
Thank he does.
He needs some love.
He needs a cuddle.
That's what's too late. Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday, Triple M, NRL. With Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
And, of course, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. All you have to do is download the Triple M NRL app. But do it now. Absolutely worthwhile. What are we hearing about Wayne Bennett and his desire to get Ash Taylor back? Now, of course, Ash Taylor played, one game in first grade for the Broncos, broke his hand in that.
Yeah, he did. Wrist, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he was the under-20s player of the year. But then he's gone to the Titans. Contract coming up, negotiations coming up, obviously, with Ben Hunt moving to the Dragons. The desire to get him back seems pretty strong, Hoops.
Wayne's gone on the record this week, Tone, confirming that absolutely he wants to bring him back. So, I can understand it. I think it'll happen. I genuinely believe that. I think Ash Taylor, he left the Brisbane Broncos to begin with because he needed an opportunity. At that time, his pathway was relatively blocked because he had Ben Hunt and Anthony Milford and Nick Arima and all these sorts of players there. But I think as much as he's signed for the Titans next year, I think beyond that he'll be at the Brisbane Broncos.
Wayne was happy to facilitate that because he actually said Nick Arima and him were good enough to be playing first grade. And, mate, I'm not... Wayne's a smart.
He went with Wayne's blessing.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's certainly the way that it's been portrayed in the public.
Exactly. It is. I mean, I spoke to Wayne about it, but even like now, I love the fact that, mate, if I'm Wayne, I'm going hard for him. I want to see Ash Taylor back at the Broncos because he's not going to win a premiership for the Titans.
Well, okay, so then basically you've got Milford there on $1 million. You've got Jack Bird coming up there on $800,000. So Where are you going to buy another half? Aren't those two guys your halves moving forward? Well, you depends. Spoke about Nick Arima.
Well, he can play anywhere, Jack Bird. He can play in the back run centre. I reckon if
Darius
we're winning
Boyd's
games...
going to be on about $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know if he will be. Maybe probably a bit less than that.
They,
they might have
their Wendell's own salary cap, are they?
Yeah, I think they've got the cap from 98.
but boys, it's not at the salary cap. I'm just saying, as Taylor, I want him to go back because he's not going to win a premiership at the Gold Coast. They're not going to win a premiership, mate. They're not even going to be a top-eight side.
Yeah, but you take all the players away. They're not, are they? I mean, why don't you have some kind of feeling? About
but not if they abide by the rules. They
So, mate, Ash, I'm happy for you to go home, mate.
No, let's flip it. What do the Titans need to do, and how hard should they push to keep this kid? Because he runs that football team. He's done a great job. Jared Haynes come into that side, and even then, they were kind of at the beginning. I guess he was looking over his shoulder a little bit and was worried about that. But he owns it now, and you know that is for me. It should be the Titans rather than the Broncos. The Titans should be going, what do we need to do to keep Ash Taylor here? How much do they need to spend?
I feel for the Titans, Tone, because they've been trying to extend Ash Taylor's contract virtually all season,
right,
and they haven't been able to have any success in relation to that. So they know that for them to compete for a premiership, even to just compete for one, they need him in that side. He's the future of the team, and he's clearly one of the best young playmakers coming through at the moment. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, he's obviously just happy to hold fire and wait. And like I said earlier, I just get the feeling that I think a big part of that reasoning is because he probably wants to go back and play for the Brisbane Broncos.
My boy.
What's he worth for the Titans?
Oh, you'd have to pay him. You'd have to pay him $1 million. You'd have to. Given what current playmakers, given the current market, and given what the best playmakers are getting, and given his potential, like, you know,
you would.
Matty Johns wrote a column earlier this season saying that he's the next Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah,
and I think everybody probably shares a similar view. He's going to be an absolute superstar.
You would have to take a pay cut to go back to the Broncos. That will be the thing that he needs to deal with, because
but where the Broncos have that third-party advantage, deals,
they do have third the third-party. They do.
So they can put him on the cap at 900, right? But then they can pay him 1.2 and go and find 300 somewhere else.
Of course. And he's a lovable sort of guy, a likable sort of guy. As a sponsor, you just go, mate, this is a bloke that I want representing my club and my product and stuff, because he's young, he's honest, he's, mate, doesn't carry on like a, you know, a knob off the field like some bloke.
Well, the Gold Coast, I mean, the NRL need to just they need to monitor this. Do they still own the Titans, the NRL?
Yeah, they do, Yeah. But they're looking to sell them, and I think that in all likelihood they'll probably be sold by the end of this season.
Two clubs in Queensland don't work if one club has all the best players. That's how it works.
They're the Broncos, good.
Yeah, but the Gold Coast are up there. They're in a competitive marketplace. I mean, the Suns are killing it apparently at the moment. but look, regardless, if we're going to have a side on the Gold Coast, we need to make sure that we have a competitive side there. They're struggling for crowds. They're form-wise, they're up and down. These, you know, Melbourne have proved it. You know, if we're going to go with expansion and we're going to invest in these, you know, they need to be successful, whether it's allowance or whatever it may be. I know the AFL employ different ways of making teams successful. Look at the Gold Coast Giants at the moment. I mean, not the Gold Coast, the Western Sydney Giants. Yeah. I mean, they're 5 years and they look like they're going to win the flag. But, you know, I mean, we just can't have, you know, the Gold Coast Titans being raped and pillaged and not been successful. It doesn't work for the game.
Well, no, it doesn't. Well, you talk to Wendell Saylor about it. He's a guy who's trying to make it happen.
He's just got Ash Taylor to the Broncos.
He's got him back to the Broncos, I tell you.
Go the Broncos.
All right, we've got plenty to come in the next hour. We are heading towards kickoff in just over 1 hour's time. The Newcastle Knights taking on the New Zealand Warriors. Stella will join us. The Cooler as well. Plenty ahead. Saturday, Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.